The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm with Darren Owen, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's jumping from Doncaster and Huntingdon on Friday afternoon. We also have all-weather action at Lingfield as well. And into the evening, the usual Friday evening of all-weather racing at Wolverhampton and Dundalk. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Well, very good morning to you, Mark, and a happy new year both to you and to all those listeners out there.
Yes, happy new year to yourself, Pimmy. How did you get on over the festive period?
No, all good, all good. Steady away. I was in here on Boxing Day, went to Weatherby the day after Boxing Day, had a nice day out there. And I was in here on New Year's Day. So, you know, I was really a martyr to the cause of William Hill Racing Radio.
Yeah.
All I need now is really get my duvet in here and I'm sorted.
Good. All right. A lot of people at New Year, Pimmy, they go through this New Year, New Me and all this, like, make any changes. Are you making any changes yourself?
I think I will, actually.
Yeah.
I've thought about it quite deeply and in depth, and I've decided I'm going to smoke more and drink more and just really enjoy life.
Yeah.
It could be my last year. Who knows?
Well, hopefully not. But, that's quite the opposite to what most people do, isn't it? They're all about, oh, I'm going to drink less. I'm going to run more
enjoy
it.
They never keep those resolutions, do they? So what the heck? Why make them?
Yeah.
Just crack on and enjoy.
Make one you're going
to
keep.
As a pal said to me, in real terms, we're only here for a flicker.
Yeah.
So just enjoy it. Enjoy. Listen, you're overweight. It don't matter. You know, you're fine.
Yeah.
You'd look awful a bit thinner.
Thanks. Right, okay, let's move on. A few news stories to have a quick look at, Pimmy, before we move on to Friday. We'll start with the Gold Cup picture because we've seen some of the declarations, all the early decks anyway, and there's a couple of interesting novices in there, the likes of King's Palace and Coneygree, who both would have good prospects in the RSA, but it looks like they're keeping one eye on the Gold Cup, and we know novices don't have a particularly brilliant record in the race, Pimmy, but what do you make of those if they end up going to the big one at the festival?
I think it's called Tilting at Windmills, young fellow.
Yeah.
Basically, you haven't got a cat in the hell's chance, have they, if they're running the Gold Cup. They're both two very, very nice horses with a bright future. But, you know, it's like throwing a little child into a boxing ring. It's not going to work, you know. You've got to be highly tuned. You've got to be on the top of your game. You've got to have experience. You know, this is the blue ribbon race of the year. It's not run to suit novices, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen. It won't happen. And I'll be surprised that if either line up in the Gold Cup, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. The last novice to win the Gold Cup was all the way back in 1974 when Captain Christie won the race. So it just shows the record of novices. And we'll learn a bit more about these two anyway because Coneygree is going to go to the Cotswold Chase at Cheltenham. So he'll be tested over the fences.
So that's a good thing.
We'll learn a bit more about
him. Applying his trade against some more experienced and you know, decent animal, so that's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a stepping stone for him. And I don't want to sound like the old fogey here and going back in time, but when we were at the Dickinsons in the 80s, if you had a horse that was heading for a novice event at the festival, they would run it in a handicap before the festival against more experienced horses just to get them used to that little bit quicker pace, that little bit more hustle and bustle. And it wasn't a case of winning that race. The big factor was getting the horse the experience. And then when he dropped back down to the novices, he just got that little edge over them. So as far as Congaree's concerned, great idea doing that, getting used to Cheltenham, getting used to being with a bit more experienced and talented animals, and then to the RSA for me.
Yeah, and they get a bit more of an idea as well because they're likely to run into many clouds in the Cotswold Chase, who's obviously the Hennessy winner. So
they
kind of get an idea where they stand with him.
They'll have an idea, but, you know, for me, if I was the connections of that horse, I'd be saying, listen, let's go there. Let's take our chance. Let's learn from the experience as far as the horse is concerned and then have a plan of attack. But Gold Cup, not for me.
Okay. Just a note as well that King's Palace is likely to go to the Denman Chase next, so same kind of scenario for him. And they're in the betting for the Gold Cup at 25-1 for King's Palace and 33s for Konigree. So I suppose that about sums up the chances anyway, doesn't it?
Well, I think we're being a bit mean, to be perfectly honest, with those prices. Yeah, I think our odds compilers has definitely not had a New Year's resolution in giving value.
Yeah, all right then. Bit of on the news, Pimmy, Catrick.
Yeah.
They're going to submit their all-weather plans by the end of this month, by the looks of things, and they could be all set if it all goes to plan by the end of 2016. What do you make of the whole idea of having all-weather racing at Catrick?
Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. We need it. You know, I mean, I'm hoping that Newcastle doesn't get it, because Newcastle's a different kettle of fish as a flat track compared to Catrick. But again, the location for Catrick is fabulous for everybody, because if you train in Scotland, you're only an hour, 2 hours away from Catrick. If you train Malton, Midland, obviously on your doorstep at Midland, but Malton and in the Midlands, you've got a nice run up the A1 to it. So location-wise, it's absolutely brilliant. And I think it's the North needs an all-weather track, because, you know, OK, Suddle is Suddle as far as not all the horses go on that fibre sand surface at Suddle. But if we get a Poly track or a Tapeter at Catrick, then they're all going to be able to go on it. And it's just going to cut the cost. And I think that's an important factor. Cut the cost for a lot of the owners having to send the horse to Catrick rather than to Wolverhampton, to Lingfield, to Kempton, or even Chelmsford City.
Yeah, which reopens on Sunday.
Yeah, happy days.
Yeah.
Have you got an invite?
I haven't. I wasn't on the list.
I wonder if King Ken's got one.
Mm.
Doubt.
He's got his finger in a few pies, hasn't he, that Peterson?
Mm. Would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If he's there, Chelmsford City, Sunday, paddock side.
Mm. Apparently the tickets for that meeting are a real hit on the auctions, because people wanting to go to the first...
I think it's great. I mean, it's a shame that they can't get more in, but I suppose it'll be under a health and safety issue that they can't get any more in. But by the same token, they're up and running, and, you know, from what I can gather, when it was Great Lees, the jockeys and the trainers loved it. They thought it was a very fair track, a very fair surface. And, you know, it's only positive again. But again, where is it? Essex.
Yeah.
No good to us.
Yeah, there's a desperate need for one up north, isn't there?
Yeah.
You think Catrick's the best
one? I think it's a brilliant venue.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I'm happier it's going to Catrick than thinking a little bit further down the A1 towards Wetherby. Hmm. I wouldn't have liked that idea.
No.
But Catrick sounds good.
Okay. Anything else got your eye pinning before we move on?
Not really, but maybe I have turned the corner in 2015.
Right.
I'd like to leave a word for the listener with food for thought.
Okay.
The word's loyalty.
Right.
How is loyalty in the world of racing at this moment in time? You don't have to answer the question now.
Yeah, just
food for thought.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
What's made you say that, Pimmy?
Well, as I sit and look at the paper and see owners changing from trainers, from jockeys being taken off horses and things like that, for me, and I'm not actually on the inside as much now as I was, for me, that loyalty ain't there anymore.
Okay. Quite a sobering note to move on to. Let's look at Friday's action.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Doncaster on Friday. Pimmy's got three races there for us, starting in the 135, which is a National Hunt Novices Hurdle over the extended 2 miles. We have 11 of them in the lineup here, Pimmy, and a couple of these are likely to take quite a bit out of the market in good form, the likes of Sunbuckle and Nicholas Chauvin in Glingarburn. It's quite a good race at the top of there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a smashing race, very competitive. As you always get at Donny, it's a good level track, very fair. Usually the best horse wins on the day. And this is a good little race to start proceedings. We'll start from the top. Glingarburn, a ready winner here at Doncaster last time out when he stayed on really well. He beat Relic Rock on that occasion. And again, I don't think really Nicky Richards' horses were actually on fire at the time. But obviously he's had a four-timer at Ayr earlier on this week. And I don't know if you've seen it on social media, but there's a brilliant interview of our very own Gordon Brown interviewing Brian Harding after the race.
I haven't seen it.
It'd be interesting. I think Gordon Brown's in the building today,
so he
might be able to find it for you. There's a lot of flashing images and a lot of bad language, but if you can cope with that, you'll enjoy it.
Brilliant.
Okay, so that's Klingerberg. Big, big chance for me. Nicholas Chauvin, he's interesting. He's obviously on the upgrade. He won a bumper and then he won his maiden at Fakenham last time out. To be perfectly honest, does Fakenham form travel? Not very often for me. So I think that's maybe a slight negative regarding that one. Obviously, Sunbuckle made all and kept on well. But again, at Southall, is that great form? And then you've got Alphabet Bay, who won his bumper at Worcester, then disappointed on debut over hurdles, but are more than likely being thrown at the deep end there. Might possibly be able to find an excuse for that one, and it might bounce back to form. Warren Greetick's horse has been in good form as well of late. But I'm going to side here with the top one, Klingerberg.
Okay, Klingerberg then in the 135. The 205 at Doncaster is the big race on the card. It's a mare's chase, a listed event over 2.5 miles. We have six of them in the lineup. Highland Treat arrives here in good form, as does Golden Sparkle. And I suppose Highland Treat is going to take quite a bit out of the market here, Pim. You've got an interesting thought towards that one, haven't you?
I have indeed, actually, yeah, Highland Treat. Something just clicked in the head about this Highland Treat. It won at Huntingdon last time out, going right-handed, but tended to go slightly left. But I had bells ringing in the ears then. I thought, this doesn't ring true. Let's just see where this filly has won. She's won at Huntingdon right-handed, Ascot right-handed, Kempton right-handed, Wincanton right-handed, Taunton right-handed, Exeter right-handed. I rest my case.
Doncaster, of course, left-handed.
Correct. Yes. So I can't have her simply because of that. So I'm going to go with the top one, Pepite Rose. She's a decent filly. She's, you know, okay, very, very much thrown in the deep end last time out, obviously, behind Dodging Bullets and all those. But prior to that, her form was pretty rock solid. I think she's got a golden opportunity tomorrow afternoon to land a nice listed race.
Okay. Pepite Rose then for Pimmy in the 205 at Doncaster. And the 315 is the final race we look at. It's the mares again. It's Ladies' Day at Doncaster. Mares handicap hurdle this time, over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. And 11 of them in the lineup for this one. This one's quite competitive, Pimmy. So who'd you like there?
Well, it is competitive. And as you said, it's Girls' Day at Donny tomorrow. It's ponytails all round. And we've got two of the best ponytails riding in this race. We've got Lizzie Kelly, who's very much improved, really taken the eye this season. Admittedly, she rides some nice horses, but she's done absolutely nothing wrong on them. She rides Rioja Dove. And then you've got Gina Andrews, who's very, very capable, claims the five. She's won on this Seas of Green the last twice, but it's gone from a mark of 88, 96, up to 110. Now, I always think it's good when a filly's progressing, confidence and everything, but, you know, she's nearly, well, she's £22 higher than when she set off winning a couple of runs ago. So maybe the handicapper just might now have her in his grasp. And the other one I liked is A Shade of Bay. Kim Bailey and Jason Maguire, good combination. But again, this filly won last time out and won nicely here at Donny. Same trip, 2 mile free, so she's course and distance winner. But she's gone from a mark of 107 up to 120. So again, handicapper took a dim view of that 11 length success last time out. Can they keep progressing? Can they defy the handicapper? I'm not so sure. So I'm going to take a chance with a Balmousette, the Keith Reevely-James Reevely combination. She's a filly that finished fourth last time out, but it was a very, very competitive race at Haydock. It was a listed novices hurdle, so nothing like that. And prior to that, she won a mare's maiden at Catterick. So again, a little bit of form there. I think we can forgive her that disappointing running much better company that last time out. She can bounce back tomorrow.
Okay, so that's Balmousette in the 3:15. Let's just have a quick summary, Pimmy, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for Friday one more time.
Yeah, in the 1:35, we're going for the top one, Klingerberg, for Nicky Richards and Brian Harding, hoping their good fortune continues. In the mare's listed chase, we're going for the top one, Pepite Rose, for Venetia and Aidan Coleman. And in the final, the mare's handicap hurdle, post time of 3:15, we're going for number 4, Balmousette.
Okay, good stuff, Pimmy. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Looking forward to it.
So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. with Darren Owen, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. We have this meeting from Doncaster. We also have jumping from Huntingdon and all other action on the poly track at Lingfield in the afternoon. We'll finish the day with the usual Friday evening on the respective all-weather surfaces at Wolverhampton and Dundalk. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.